us by your Spirit. Help us to understand things that are only understandable through you. In Jesus' name, amen. So we've been talking about what's your story, right? What's your testimony? How has following Jesus Christ changed your life? What kind of transformation has happened in your life for knowing Jesus? You know, why even bother with all of this? What's the point? What sets your life apart as a follower of Jesus Christ from the way that everyone else struggles through life? You know, we've looked at some miraculous ways that God has changed us, right? We've talked about some miraculous healings that have occurred. We've talked about people being delivered from drug and alcohol addiction. We've heard testimony about God showing up and speaking to people pretty clearly about his existence and about his role and presence in our lives. We heard a testimony last week about someone being healed of some physical things that really don't just go away on their own. We've talked a little bit about testimonies of God's provision and taking care of us, that sort of thing. Another mark of transformation in the life of a follower of Jesus Christ is a little bit different. It's a little bit more painful sometimes to examine. And not something that we often lead with when we want someone to see what we are like or what Jesus is like in us. And that is the idea of forgiveness. When we have been forgiven by God for all of our stuff, it's pretty hard for us to stand there in judgment of someone else and not forgive them. True forgiveness is not something that the world does very well. It is something that's pretty foreign to the way that we behave and that we act as people without Jesus. It's a true mark of the faith, being imitators of God, forgiving one another as God has forgiven us. Rolls off the tongue easy, but that is a tall order. That's a tough one. And the beautiful thing about true forgiveness is that it doesn't originate with us. It's like God's grace. We don't generate it. It comes from him. Anytime we're able to truly forgive, it's because God has given us the grace to be able to do it. So how does this tie into what's your story? Well, sometimes things happen in our lives that are so painful and so hurtful that there's no way we're going to deal with them or get by them without the hand of God moving and working in our lives and helping us and leading us and guiding us through it. It's then that we fall back on him and say, I can't do this. If I get through this, it's only because you've done it. I can't forgive this. If I forgive this, it's only because you've worked in my heart and enabled me to forgive. The epistle lesson, like I mentioned to the kids this morning, the epistle lesson talks about being imitators of God. What are God's qualities? What are we supposed to imitate? You know, there's the ones that we like to talk about that look good on the outside and that sort of thing. But forgiveness, that's a tough one. I want to just play a 2-minute video for you off YouTube about Corrie Ten Boom. Many of you probably know her story. And this is her actually speaking, so I want to encourage you to try to listen well through the German accent that's here, okay? It's well worth hearing and listening to that.
And there came a man to me and said, Mr. Baum, I am glad to see you. Don't you know me? Suddenly I saw that man that was one of the most cruel overseers in concentration camp. And that man said, I'm now a Christian. I found the Lord Jesus. I read my Bible and I know that there is forgiveness for all the sins of the whole world, also for my sins. I have forgiveness for the cruelties I have done. But then I asked God grace for the opportunity that I could ask one of my very victims forgiveness. And Fräulein de Mol, will you forgive me? And I could not. I remember the suffering of my dying sister through him. But when I experienced that I could not forgive, suddenly I knew I myself have no forgiveness. But I was not able, I could not, I could only hate him. And then I took one of these beautiful texts, one of these boundless resources, Romans 5:5, and thank you, Father, that your love is stronger than my hatred and unforgiveness. That same moment, I was free. And I could say, brother, give me your hand, and I shook hands with him. And it was as if I felt God's love stream through my arms. You never touch so the ocean of God's love as that you forgive your enemies. Can you forgive? No. I can't either. But he can.
Some of you may know her story. If you don't know it, I encourage you to take a look and investigate it a little more closely and understand that this is one of the SS folks that tortured and killed her family. And he showed up where she was speaking and asked her for forgiveness. And she realized that it was only in God's strength that she would be able to do that. The things that we experience in our lives are hopefully different than the kind of wrong and hurt that she experienced, but things can cut no less deeply. And we can hold on to grudges and bitterness towards people just as strongly. And so lifting up her story is not to minimize our hurts or those things that the Lord would like us to forgive. Rather, it's to encourage us that in God's grace and strength we can. But C.S. Lewis said, everyone says forgiveness is a lovely idea until they have something to forgive. There's some truth to that. Think about the things that might be really hard to forgive. Someone lies about you. Someone costs you advancement or your career. Someone abuses you. Someone hurts your children. Someone gossips about you behind your back to others. Someone judges you unfairly. Your reaction might be, I'm going to make them pay. They deserve to suffer like I've suffered. You name it. Or maybe your reaction is to just wilt and internalize all that hurt and all that pain. And just live day to day with it while it slowly eats away at you like a cancer. Forgiveness is truly a Christian virtue. It's not something the world comes by on its own. In Luke chapter 6, verse 37, Jesus says, do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. In Matthew 6, Jesus says it really, really clearly. If you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Forgiveness is a really serious and key thing in our lives. Paul expresses it a little bit differently, with a little bit different angle on it. And he says, bear with one another and forgive whatever grievances you might have with one another. Forgive as the Lord forgives you. How does the Lord forgive you? How much has the Lord forgiven you? Does he keep the record of the faint pencil mark? Or is it gone, like it never happened? Peter was a guy who knew the value of forgiveness. Remember? He was kind of Jesus' right-hand man. Jesus said some wonderful things about him. You're the rock on whom I'm going to build the church. He's the first one that came out with, Jesus, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Like, he was hitting home runs. And then, when the chips are down, he denies Jesus. I never knew him. I don't know him. I don't know the man. I don't know what you're talking about. Completely denies having any association with him. Jesus goes to the cross, right? He dies this terrible death, and he doesn't hold it against Peter that in his hour of need, Peter did not stand with him. Peter wasn't there on the hill where Jesus died. He was gone. He had ditched. And in the end, Jesus restores him beautifully. Do you love me? He asks him three times. Once for each time that he had denied him. It's a beautiful restoration. And so, bear with one another and forgive what grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. That's how the Lord forgave us. Completely, totally, freely, holding nothing back with 100% restoration of relationship. I think sometimes forgiveness is hard because we don't necessarily understand it the way that God would intend us to understand it. There's some misconceptions about forgiveness. You know, it doesn't mean that we approve of what someone did, right? It doesn't mean that we pretend that it never happened. It doesn't mean that we overlook abuse. It doesn't mean that we deny that someone has inflicted great pain upon us. It doesn't mean that we have to let people walk all over us. It doesn't mean forgetting the wrong that was done. It doesn't mean that all the negative consequences of it are canceled and gone. But forgiveness is a grace. It is a gift from God. And forgiving someone doesn't start with these sort of fake words that we manage to utter. Oh, I forgive you. But inside, we're still feeling the bitterness and the anger and the hurt and the betrayal that we experience. Forgiveness actually goes the other way. It starts in our heart. It starts in our spirits as enabled by God. It grows outward then into our words and our actions. When the Lord moves in our hearts and enables us to come to a place where we can forgive, it grows outward into us then being able to say truthfully, I forgive you. And then our actions follow and back up those words. We don't say, I forgive you, and then turn the cold shoulder or refuse to talk to a person. Forgiveness is born out in action following the change of heart brought on by God. In many respects, it's a decision that we make to refuse to live in the past and to move forward. And it is a conscious choice to release others from their sins against you so that you can be set free. When we hold people to their sins against us, they're not the ones being held. We are. If you've struggled with forgiving somebody, you know the bitterness and the anger that builds up and that holds on and that it poisons us slowly from the inside out over years. There's an account in Matthew 18. I'm not going to read the whole thing. You can read it if you want to. But basically, there's this guy who has this huge debt. It's unforgivable. It's a huge amount of money that he owes. It'd be like, you know, us having $50 million that we owe or something like that. You're never going to pay it back in a lifetime, ever. And he's forgiven the debt. And then on his way out of being forgiven of this debt, he walks out from the person who held the debt and he sees someone that owes him $100 and he grabs him by the throat and says, "Give me what you owe me." He wasn't an imitator of what he had received. And scripture says that he will be handed over to the tormentors until he can pay everything that he owes. Right? So, it's an interesting parable. But what are the tormentors that we are handed over to when we hold on to unforgiveness? What do we live with? Right? We live with that bitterness. We live with anger. It takes all the color out of life. It makes it hard to see people that we have difficulty with. Eventually, it will start to affect our physical health. You know, everything's kind of connected. Have you ever been so stressed out that you needed to take antacids? Right? I don't know if that's happened to you, but that's just a simple example of how stress can affect our lives. And it affects how we relate to our families and our spouses, our friends. If we have all of this stuff hanging on us all the time, those tormentors of unforgiveness kind of stalk us and follow us until we finally release it, until we finally give it to the Lord. So when we come to God, we show up with nothing, right? You know, we come into this world naked, right? We got nothing. We don't even have clothes. We might have clothes on when we leave, but we're not taking anything with us. All we have is what the Lord has given to us. And so we stand before God, before we know Jesus, with a mountain of debt that we can never repay, a mountain of sin in our own lives that we cannot do enough good to undo all of the stuff that's against us, that weighs against our account. And Christ, on the cross, when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," that took away our sin. It also takes away all of our excuses to hold anger and bitterness and unforgiveness towards another. We can't come to church and come to communion and sing happy songs and then go out and avoid people, or in one way or another seize them by the throat and say, "Pay me what you owe," because the Lord has paid so much of a debt for us. How can we hold something against somebody? You say, "Well, Pastor, that's pretty easy for you to say. You don't know what happened to me." I am begging you, forgive people so that you can be free. Because in not forgiving people, you are being held in bondage by your own unforgiveness. It's going to be really hard to move on into repentance and revival and walk with the Lord in the way that he is inviting you to if we're holding on to this stuff that Jesus says, "I'm trying to take this. Will you let go, please?" It's not something you can do on your own. It's something that you need the Lord for. It's something that you need to ask him for help with. Mark Twain said it like this: "Forgiveness is the fragrance the violet gives to the heel that has crushed it." It's quite a thing. Think about it. It's something that we don't deserve, but we're granted. And it's something that God says, "This is part of your story. This is my transformation in your life. This is what sets a life following me apart from a life living the way everybody else does. Let me work in your life. Let me take this stuff. I'm the one that can do it." Forgive others as you have been forgiven. It can be a powerful part of what's your story. You know, when someone hurts you deeply and people will agree, "Yeah, you have every right to get back at them." But you're able to say, through God's grace and by His strength, I am able to forgive, though not me, but Christ in me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for crafting our stories. Thank you that none of us is beyond hope. Lord, I thank you for each one that is here today, that it is by no mistake that they are here. God, I pray for each one of us, that if we are holding unforgiveness towards one another, towards anyone else out there, Lord, that you would begin and continue the process of helping us to forgive, that we might be freed from the bitterness and the anger and the poison that that will set up in our lives. Lord, maybe today we've come here and we're realizing the mountain of sin and debt that we owe to you that can never be paid. Lord, we lay it before you and ask you to forgive us, to take it. Lord, we trust not in our own ability to do good or in our own righteousness, Lord, but in Jesus and his gift on the cross, taking all of that off of us so that we could have perfect relationship with you. Help us to walk now, Lord, in forgiveness, imitating God as he forgave us, forgiving others around us. Lord, we pray that this would be a testimony to those around us that this amazing forgiveness is not from us, Lord, but from you. That as we lift Christ up, he would draw all people to himself. Lord, we pray for healing in our lives where healing is needed. We pray for a release from those tormentors of bitterness and anger. We pray for release from depression and from withdrawal. Lord, help us to walk fully in the path that you have laid out before us and to grow up into the fullness of your knowledge and in your love and not be stunted by these things anymore. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.